Yasmin.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Doing well. Yourself?
Hi, Esther.
Oh, good. I was thinking about you today. We haven't heard from you.
Oh, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Good. Yes, it's been hard the last couple weeks and probably, like he says, the next couple weeks, but I'll be back once the summer's set and these weeks are over. I'll be back as I was.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I have to apologize. I'm not going to be starting the conference for about 7 minutes. So I hope you'll stay. I ran into a conflict with my phone, which I finally got working again just as we hit 10 o'clock. So I need a few minutes to get settled. And
okay.
I will call back in the conference call then.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay. It'll be about seven minutes.
Okay.
Malta? Hello?
Malka, he's going to be about 5 more minutes before he starts.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to mute again.
Okay. Brandela?
Brandy, he's going to be about 5 more minutes.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm muting again.
Bye-bye.
Good evening. I think people are muted.
Good evening. Several of us are muted.
Yes, we're here. All right, going to mute again.
Thank you. Appreciate the waiting. I apologize. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tativ, Tzerurah, Alef Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Tacharenu, No Ra, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yudkashin. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tamid gamlem, betet resh, sadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh, birov tuvcha, nael adata, het kuf bet, tet nunayan. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu kabel u'shma tziakatenu yodea talumot Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Taf. The letters of the month of Tammuz, the Taf that created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, the astrological sign of Cancer. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and we're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer chesed la'alafim, noseawon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. We're now going to connect to the year of the goat through the two verses that we study. The first is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, and we'll start with Elishem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bidhilu Urhimu udhilu udhilu urhimu Le'akta l'shem yud he bevav he B'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah La'sok Torah mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konanei aleinu maasei yadeinu konanehu. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Tzatzkiach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we can create Dir Yam. Translation is Sea of Tenants. The second verse we study for the year of the goat is chapter 23, verse 8 of Joshua. Kim ba Adonai, Yohewahe, Elohechem, Tadebaku, Kasher Asitem, Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year of the pause, 5776, also has two verses that we study. The first one is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat willo yachlu lehafshit et kol ha'olot vayachaskum achechem halevim. Ad kilot hamlacha, v'ad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halevim yishrei levav, lehitkadesh me hakohanim. The verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yola Yo Alame, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Rekaha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohewahe, Ade ad kibia. Yo hey Adonai, yo hey wahe, tur olamim. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. This is for the year 5775 that has the energy of swallowing death forever. The second verse we study of the three is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo yiyam, asher yitchabe sham wishavtem, elai el nachon. Wehalachti itchem, wechayim yeshno, varetz vechipasti, oto bekol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach, yoved roav, yomru ayo. The year 5774 that has the energy of peace in the Middle East. The one verse we study is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'amil Yisrael untativ v'shakan takta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto Kasher Barishona. We're now going to study a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It's from Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abamar Bekamatar Tanenan Dekut Shabarichu Koma Deaved Leela. Witata kola ihu kishot viovada dikshot vele lachmila bialma divae barnash ledachya leya mineya ulan hagabeya kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot. Inun wikola itzterich bealma. Let's scan the 72 names of God. Please scan the first two rows. The third row will say out loud. La wa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha he yo 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 me la he 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 wa. Scan the balance of the chart. The 72 names from the Tzaddikim, the first two rows, please scan. The third row. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa. Scan the balance of the chart. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 17th day of Tammuz, which is a daylight fast day, so tomorrow we will be fasting, some of us anyway. The Tzaddikim who left this day are Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Asher, Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Weinberg, and Rabbi Chaim Meir Yechiel, who's the son, the Ben Rabbe Dov Berash Shapiro. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is continuing to explain and prepare for the three-week period. You can get the handout that we will be reading from the Unique Astrological Times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or at the bottom if you're on a mobile device or a tablet. When you open up the Unique Astrological Times link, please scroll down almost to the end to where you find the three-week period. And we will be doing the meditation starting tonight, right now. And then right after that, we will read the link that says Deeper Insights to Three-Week Period, Sefirot. So I suggest you open that up as we do the meditation. The meditation is to take the Tetragrammaton and take it one letter to the right. So that's Tet Dalet Hey Dalet. Then one letter to the left, Kaf Vav Zion Vav. Then the Atbash substitutions creating the center column. Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi. The sum of these 12 letters is 360, which creates a shin. The fourth meditation is at the word Retzei, which is the same letters as Tzara, and we are transforming troubles, tzara, into opportunities and into desires for balance, retzei. And when we add Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, to the gematria of 295 of retzei, we have another shin, 360. So we now have two shins, which connects us to the two words, the phrase Sim Shalom. And this phrase has a gematria of 726. So between the two shins that we created, we have 720. And then we have the six names of God, the three that we said initially. the name Elohim, the name Adonai, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and the Tetragrammaton, Yud, He, Vav, He. And with this connection of 726 of Sim Shalom, we are able to inject Shalom, peace, and balance into this period of this 3-week period. Now, if you have opened up the handout, it's starting at the place saying Mystical Insights by Rabbi Bart Zadok. And Bein HaMitzarim, which is the name, the Hebrew name for the 3 weeks. It's actually translation as the narrow place. And the 3 weeks from the 17th of Tammuz, starting tonight, to the 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av. From the 17th day of the Hebrew month of Tammuz, until the 9th day of the following month, which is Av, is a period of national mourning for the children of Israel. 5 devastating things that affected all of Israel occurred on the 17th of Tammuz. 5 catastrophic events that affected all of Israel occurred on Tisha B'Av. On the 17th of Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu descended from Mount Sinai after receiving the tablets of the mitzvot of the Eser Dibrot. On that day, the people were worshiping the golden calf. Moshe shattered the tablets. The ones that replaced them were not the same as the first. The first tablets contained a higher form of the 10 Eser Dibrot than those revealed on the second tablets. With the giving of the Torah, we were supposed to have entered the Messianic Age. Moshe was supposed to have been Mashiach. Yet we lost this marvelous opportunity. We were thwarted as we were centuries earlier in the Garden of Eden. Years later, other horrible events occurred exactly on this day. Prior to the destruction of the Holy Temple by the Babylonian ancestors of today's Iraq, the continual offering, which maintains the balance between heaven and earth, ceased on this day. On this day, years later, during the period of the Greek occupation, a pagan authority destroyed the oldest and most authoritative scroll of the Torah. On this day, that same Greek pagan then proceeded to place a pagan idol in the Holy Temple. On this day, years later, in their conquest of Israel and the genocide of her people, the walls of Jerusalem were breached. The 17th of Tammuz, therefore, has become a day of fasting. From sunrise to sunset, every adult child of Israel, except nursing mothers and the infirm and the ill, is to fast, neither eating nor drinking, to commemorate all that we have lost on this day. 3 weeks later, on the 9th of Av, even greater catastrophic events occurred when Moshe Rabbeinu sent out spies to the Promised Land. They came back and brought a bad report, filling the hearts of the people with fear. The entire nation mourned their fate and wanted to return to Egypt. This happened on Tisha B'Av. Years later, both the first and second temples were destroyed on this day. Years later, the Roman occupiers destroyed the final Jewish stronghold against them and murdered the entire population of the city, which numbered close to 100,000 innocent men, women, and children. This horror happened on Tisha B'Av. 1 year later to the day, the Roman Nazi emperor decreed that a pagan temple be established on the Holy Temple Mount. Tisha B'Av, therefore, is the day of days of national mourning for the entire Jewish people. All fast for a full 24 hours on this day. Also, actually 25 hours. Also forbidden are bathing, adorning, marital intimacy, the wearing of leather shoes, and the study of Torah. There are numerous laws regarding the proper preparation and observances of the Tisha B'Av fast. One should consult with one's local Orthodox rabbi for full and proper instruction regarding these laws in accordance to one's communal origins. The history of this time speaks for itself about the tragedies that occurred there. Yet we must ask, why did so many bad things happen all during the same time of the year and exactly on the same dates? As intelligent adults, we recognize that there is far more than a coincidence. In order to understand the why of the 3 weeks, we must delve into the mysticism of the Torah. The secrets of time are revealed within Torah mysticism. They will provide for us the necessary insights to understand why all these terrible things happened and continue to happen in Tammuz and in Av. As is known, each month of the year is dominated by the astrological influence. This was ordained by Hashem. Insights into astrology help us to understand the mechanics of the universe. Yet Hashem created more than mere astrological influences. Over each month of the year and over each day of the month, there are also influences of the Sefirot. Aside from the Sefirot, each day and month also are influenced by one of the four elements: fire, air, water, and earth. The month of Tammuz is under the astrological sign of Sartan, of Cancer. This is itself insignificant until we recognize that Satan is a water sign. In other words, the element of water, which represents divine mercy, is the dominant influence for the month. The month of Av is under the influence of fire, the element that manifests God's severity. Two other times in the calendar do water signs precede fire signs. In those cases, great things have happened to the Jewish people. Adar and Nisan are times of joy filled with holidays that celebrate redemption. Cheshvan is the month when the third temple is destined to be dedicated. Kislev celebrates the rededication of the temple with Hanukkah. Yet with Tammuz and Av, instead of joy, we have sorrow. The reason for this is because, just as the Sefirot, the elements and stars influence time, so more so does human behavior influence it. All things in creation have two sides to them, a side of good and a side of evil. This is based on the verses in Kohelet, made famous by the 60s rock and roll song, "Turn, Turn, Turn." There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to kill and a time to heal. And each of these times is explained by the Sefer Yetzirah as being related to the individual months of the year. These times are the forces underlying astrological influences. In addition, the days of the month express sephirotic influences. A month is made up of 4 weeks, each of 7 days. Each one of the 4 weeks of the month manifests one of the letters of God's holy name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The 4 letters of God's name also correspond to the Sephirot. Yud corresponds to Chachma and the first week of the month. He corresponds to Bina and the second week of the month. Vav corresponds to the 6 Sephirot with Tiferet at their center and corresponds to the 3rd week of the month. The final day corresponds to Malchut and the 4th week of the month. The 7 days of the week correspond to the 7 lower Sephirot. Day 1 is Sunday, corresponds to Chesed. Day 2, Monday, corresponds to Givurah. Day 3 is Tuesday, and it corresponds to Tiferet. Day 4, Wednesday, corresponds to Netzach. Day 5, Thursday, corresponds to Hod. Day 6, Friday, corresponds to Yesod. Day 7, Shabbat, corresponds to Malchut. The 17th day of any month, therefore, is the 3rd day of the 3rd week. The 3rd week corresponds to the Vav, to Tiferet. The 3rd day of the week corresponds also to Tiferet. Thus, it was on the day of the Tiferet of the week of Tiferet under the influence of God's mercy in Tammuz that Moshe brought down the tablets of the Esser Dibrot to the children of Israel. This was the most appropriate time, for the Torah itself emanates from Tiferet. What better time to receive the Torah of Tiferet than on the day and week of Tiferet? Yet instead of this day becoming a holiday, it became a day of mourning. Tiferet corresponds to the heart. Yet Tiferet is also the Sephirah of divine justice. Justice turns in 2 ways. It exonerates the innocent, but it punishes the guilty. The hearts of Israel were led astray by the sin of the golden calf. In this case, the people were indeed guilty. They had blemished the supernal Tiferet. From that day of Tiferet onward, the supernal Tiferet was blemished, until the hearts of the collective children of Israel are purified. The supernal Tiferet will never be able to shine its balanced light of divine justice. Because of their being unrepentant, collective Israel therefore receives their judgment on this day, that they blemished this source of judgment. I have returned. I'm sorry for the disconnection. The 9th day of any month is the 2nd day of the 2nd week. This corresponds to the Gevura of Bina. Bina is the supernal mother. She is the source of all divine severity and punishment. The 9th day of Av augments this severity by being a month influenced by fire, the symbol of divine severity. Thus, the ninth of Av is a sign of multiple severities, multiple judgments. The children of Israel cried out to God because of their fear to move forward to conquer the promised land. The nature of the divine severity of that day flared against them. On this day, instead of blemishing Tiferet, which is justice in heart, they blemished an even higher place. On the ninth of Av, the children of Israel blemished the source of severity and caused it to become imbalanced against them. Unlike the 17th of Tammuz, which blemished the heart, the ninth of Av blemished the Sefirah Bina, which is the mind, specifically that aspect of mind that connects with the heart. The mind-heart connection between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av is also seen in that there are 21 days between them. 21 is the numerical value of the holy name Echieh, the name that corresponds to the Mochin of Bina, the brains of Bina, the realm of the mind. Thus, on the 17th of Tammuz, Israel blemished the supernal heart, Tiferet, and 21 days later, on the calendar, they blemished the supernal mind, Bina. There are yet other aspects to this blemish. The months of the year also correspond to the various spiritual aspects within the two sephirotic faces, the Partsufim, formed by the lower seven sephirot. The two sephirotic faces formed by the lower seven sephirot are Zeranpin and the Shekhinah. The entire year is split between their influence. The six spring and six and summer months are influenced by the female Partsuf, Nok, the Shekhinah. The six fall and winter months are influenced by the male Partsuf, Zeranpin. Israel embodies the presence of the Shekhinah. Thus, when they sinned before God, they blemished all the months under the dominion of the Shekhinah. Tammuz and Av correspond to the Sephirot of Netzach and Hod of the Shekhinah. Netzach and Hod are the manifestations of the justice of Tiferet. Therefore, when Tiferet was imbalanced, so were its manifestations. Netzach and Hod are also the two Sephirot from which comes forth the spirit of prophecy. When the people of Israel blemished the Tiferet in Tammuz and Bina in Av, they thus caused the Netzach and Hod to be disconnected from them. This caused the loss of the spirit of prophecy. The months of Tammuz and Av also correspond to the two eyes of the Shekhinah. When Israel sinned, it is as if the Shekhinah was blinded. Thus, we see that by our continued bad behavior, by not being faithful to the covenant of Sinai, we reinforce all the negative aspects in nature to work against the collective Jewish people. The Bein HaMitzarim, the three-week period, is a time of great spiritual severity for the Jewish people. While an individual Jew may be righteous, he or she is still nonetheless part of the nation and shares the nation's destiny, be it for good or for evil. Therefore, during this three-week period, Torah law stipulates for us a specific code of practice. These 3 weeks are not a time for joy. Music should not be listened to. New clothing should not be worn. Marriages are not held at this time. These 3 weeks are a time of national mourning and retrospection, a time for us each to look within, to repair our broken hearts and our faulty minds. In spite of all that we have learned above, these 3 weeks are not a time for us to be mourning over the episodes of the past. Practically speaking, we have enough to mourn over our present. We cannot change the past. We cannot undo what has already been done. We can, however, change the future before it happens. We do this by changing our present. And as a unwritten aside, yes, we can change the past. We do so through Teshuvah. Changing the past changes our present. Changing our present changes the future. Mourning the past is well and good. However, mourning the present is what is necessary. Changing the present is more than necessary. It is essential. Unless we change our course of action as individual Jews, as a collective nation, renew our covenant with God and obey His mitzvot, we will inevitably come to experience new tragedies to mourn during these days. These 3 weeks emanate God's judgment upon the Jewish people. Therefore, be careful during them. During these 3 weeks, Murphy's Law is here, most applicable. If anything can go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible time. Personally speaking, I wish to avoid these and any other future problems or sorrows. Therefore, I share with you this material. Yet we need something from each of you. We need each of you to join with us to make a difference, to correct the mistakes of the past by not repeating them in the present or in the future. Mourn the past with all the appropriate halakhic details, for if you do not do this, then you dishonor the past, and thus disgrace the Shekhinah. Sins of this nature will bring upon us, God forbid, another Holocaust. Yet when you fast and mourn, also contemplate well how you may improve yourselves by not only being better children of Israel, but also better human beings. Centuries ago, a serious lack of action on our parts led to our national destruction. Today, it will only be serious action that will lead to our individual and national survival and salvation. May God bless all those who mourn over the destruction of the Jerusalem to see its rebuilding and the restoration of its former glory and more. And may we all say, Amen. I'm continuing to read this new section, which is titled The 3 Weeks of Information. We're not going to read the first part of this because it was covered in what we've already read tonight. You can scroll down . It may be a little difficult to find, The number two, it's not bolded, it's rather difficult to find. Among the five events which occurred on the 17th of Tammuz is the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. It is a day when Gentiles, and figuratively a Gentile lifestyle, broke through the wall that surrounded and defended Jerusalem. This concept has a parallel in our lives. The Hebrew name of the city, Yerushalayim, is a composite of two Hebrew words, Yirah and Shalem. When combined, they translate as a complete fear or a complete awe. This is a level of fear and awe that includes within it the totality of our service to Hashem, affecting every aspect of our behavior. Complete awe, complete fear, as all other aspects of Torah and mitzvot, must be surrounded by a wall. As our sages have said, make a fence around the Torah. In our personal lives, this wall represents the practice of meditation, the acceptance of Hashem's yoke, and the quality of self-annulment. Look at those three. The practice of meditation, the acceptance of Hashem's yoke, and the quality of self-annulment. This is the service to Hashem. When the wall around Jerusalem is destroyed, it is necessary to institute a fast. Through losing fat and blood, which is what happens when we fast, we can correct the fault of lacking a wall. The fast is a mitzvah. By fulfilling the mitzvah, we reestablish our connection with Hashem and make ourselves one with Him. There is another lesson to learn from the destruction of the wall around Jerusalem. A wall is intended to separate those inside the city from all the influence that exists on the outside. Hence, the wall of Jerusalem separated those who have complete fear and those who lack this quality. There are gates and passageways in the wall, so that there are no two children of Israel completely separated from each other. Contemplate that, what those words imply. The above is true in normal times. However, in times such as these, the concept of the city was destroyed, and the wall of Jerusalem became being broken down, has a positive connotation as well. And that connotation is that we must involve ourselves with other children of Israel, even those outside the wall around complete fear or complete awe, over and beyond the call of duty, using the doors and the passageways. We must show self-sacrifice, not considering any obstacles, and even put our own lives in danger in order to reach out to a child of Israel who lives outside Jerusalem, and even one who lives outside the holiness of Israel in general. Number three. The Hebrew word chesed, kindness, has a numerical value of 72. Kabbalah teaches that the last 72 days of the Hebrew calendar year are permeated with chesed, with divine benevolence. This period begins tonight, on the 17th day of the Hebrew month of Tammuz. There are 72 days left before Rosh Hashanah. All of these 72 days are complete with chesed, with the divine beneficence. This day is also the first of a three-week period during which we mourn the destruction of the Holy Temple and the exile of the Jewish nation from Israel in the year 69 of the Common Era. Fasting and severe mourning mark the first and last days of this period as we respectively commemorate the anniversaries of the breach of Jerusalem's walls and the fall of the Holy Temple. This begs a question: how can a period of such suffering be simultaneously permeated with divine benevolence? The Hebrew word tov, which means good, has a numerical value of 17. The Bnei Yisachar, one of the Kabbalistic sages, teaches that this good is tied into 17 days of this three-week period. What sort of goodness is connected with these 17 days? A hidden one. The Talmud teaches that upon creation of the world, Hashem withheld a large measure of goodness and kept it in store to be revealed when the Mashiach comes. These 17 days may appear negative on the surface, but are in fact fully permeated with divine goodness. Just below the surface lies an intense measure of goodness yet to be revealed. The Talmud teaches that all punishment and suffering are veils drawn by Hashem over kindness that is too powerful to be directly perceived. Yet the psalmist, King David, promised that when Mashiach comes, this veil will be removed and we will come to understand the positive import of our nation's suffering. All that at that time we will recognize the true character of divine benevolence that characterizes these 17 days. What are the additional 5 days of the period? These 5 days are in fact not sad at all. They are comprised of 3 days of Shabbat and 1 day of Rosh Chodesh, all of which fall during this period. And the fifth day is the ninth of Av, which was declared a festival by the prophet Jeremiah, because the potential for Mashiach is born on this day. May we merit the immediate unveiling of the goodness, and may these days of mourning soon be transformed into days of celebration and joy. And may we all say, Amen. Due to my delay, we didn't quite spend as much time as I would like. But just to give you some additional insights or additional understanding, and I'm sure that you found what I read just now to be quite informative and quite revealing. And it's things that we have never discussed in any of our classes. But yet it's all been in the classes. It just, we could have applied it to see this the way Rabbi Bar Sadak has applied it. So we are mourning the temple's destruction, but we are so distanced from that loss that we have forgotten what it means to lose it. We don't know what to mourn anymore. We don't understand what we are supposed to be doing? How do we restore what you lost if you don't appreciate what you lost? And that is why we will study the third temple based on the prophecy of Ezekiel, based on its explanation by Rabbi Luzzatto. He wrote a book including all of the information, and we have an English translation. And you can find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, and we will do so over these next 3 weeks. Also, we mourn the temple by saying the Tikkun Rachel. All year long, we say Tikkun Chatzot, the correction of the night, the direction of midnight. The correction of the balance point is another way of truly understanding Tikkun Chatzot. But during this three-week period, people do not say Tikkun Chatzot at night. They say it in the late afternoon. And we were going to be picking a time. We haven't decided on it yet. And we will set up. But if you go to the unique astrological times page in the three-week period, you will see a link. Tikkun Chatzot, during the 3 weeks. We don't say both the Tikkun Rachel and the Tikkun Leah. We only say the Tikkun Rachel. And we will say it in the afternoon. The whole purpose of the study of the third temple is to have us realize what we have lost. And this whole purpose of saying Tikkun HaRachel is for us to remember and connect with what we have lost, to feel the pain of what we caused. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow, our 4:30 class will be a mini Zohar class where we will finish section one of the Parasha of Noach. And our 7 o'clock class will begin our study of the third temple and what the beauty of the third temple is. So we have a dichotomy, a duality of the energy. We're going to be in mourning, and yet we're going to be happy. This is called balance. Does anyone have questions? Have a beautiful evening. Shalom to all.
I have a question, Hanan.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
When do we say Tikkun Rachel?
During the 3 weeks, starting tonight at midnight, you say Tikkun Rachel. And then tomorrow afternoon, you say Tikkun Rachel. Now, we're going to say it in the afternoon as a community, but I haven't got that set up yet. So we won't do it tomorrow. We'll probably start on Wednesday doing that. But if you want to say the Tikkun Chatzot, the handout that is the link takes you to has some very brief explanations of it. And you can see that most of it is the various verses from Psalms. Tikkun Rachel is said usually sitting on the floor as if you are in mourning, like you are sitting Shiva for a lost relative, because that's what we have lost. It is a lost relative. The temple is our lost relative. Normally, in the other days of the year, when you finish Tikkun Rachel, you get up off the floor and say Tikkun Lea, demonstrating that you are returning out of mourning. But during this three-week period, we want to stay in mourning, but not the mourning of the past. We want to mourn the past in order to change the present, as Rabbi Bar Sadak is teaching us. Are there any other questions? Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Thank you.
Hello.